Но если таким оружием будут наноситься удары по российской территории, ответ будет очень серьезным, если не сказать ошеломляющим. Пусть они об этом подумают.
Президент Путин basically said today that Russia is immune from US sanctions. He said that it would not impact the Russian economy in any serious way. Is he
good.
Wrong?
I'm glad he feels that way. That's good. I'll let you know about it in 6 months from now. Okay, let's see how it all works out.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, October the 24th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with another boat destroyed by the U.S. military, by the Department of War. U.S. kills 5 in Pacific anti-drug strike. And Pete Hegseth, he said that strikes will continue until all narco-terrorists are eliminated. All boats will be destroyed until all narco-terrorists are eliminated, according to the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. How do they know that these boats are carrying drugs? Has the Department of War ever explained how they go about determining that they are certain these boats are carrying drugs? Have they actually informed us on their process or their guidelines to determine that without a doubt these boats have drugs on them and in them and they're heading towards the United States? I don't think so. And we'll never find out either, because they destroy these boats and they kill everyone on these boats, and no one wants to take their boats out onto the waters anymore, huh, in the region. Is it any different than Obama when he was droning people, right? When he was waking up in the morning and Obama got his drone list and he okayed the drone list. And then the drones just killed people in the Middle East or Afghanistan or in Syria. And every once in a while, Obama would admit that a mistake was made. And he would say, we droned some folks. At least he admitted that a mistake was made, huh? At least Obama would say, well, you know, we droned some folks or something like that. We're not going to get any of that from the Trump administration or from Pete Hegseth. So Trump was asked about Venezuela during a press conference. And Trump said that we could be getting some sort of a ground operation in Venezuela. He said that he's going to go to Congress, or he might go to Congress and seek approval for some sort of a ground operation against Venezuela, and that Congress would not provide much resistance, he said. No, Congress is not going to provide any pushback or resistance if Trump were to go to Congress and say, we want a ground operation in Venezuela. Who's gonna push back on that? Lindsey Graham? No, not at all. Not at all. Trump also said that they're pretty much eliminating any drugs from the sea, and now the drugs are passing over land, and so that's why they may need a ground operation. And then Trump came up with this one. He came up with this beauty. He said that China is smuggling fentanyl through Venezuela to bypass U.S. and Mexican ports. He came up with that one yesterday as well. So during this press conference, Trump was asked about the sanctions against Russia. And Putin, He actually spoke to the media yesterday, and he was asked about the U.S. sanctions against Rosneft and Lukoil. And I'll get to what Putin said in a minute. But one of the things that Putin said was that these sanctions will not have that much of an effect on Russia. That is basically what Putin said. And Trump was asked about this statement from Putin, that the Russian president, a reporter asked Trump, the Russian president just said that these sanctions will not have much of an effect on the Russian economy. And Trump's response to that was that he's glad. He says, I'm glad, I'm happy that these sanctions will not have an effect on Russia. And we'll see in 6 months. And then he started to, he was smirking. Pete Hegseth was laughing, and Bondi was also laughing. It was a type of a mafioso mobster type of laugh, a bully. It was a bully type of laugh, right, from Hegseth and from Bondi, as Trump was saying, oh, well, we'll see in 6 months. They're very sure of himself that he will be able to destroy the Russian economy, that the sanctions will have an effect. Because that's what this has become for the U.S. president. He's obsessed with destroying Russia, very much like Biden. He's obsessed with getting Putin to capitulate, very much like Biden. I imagine Lindsey Graham or Keith Kellogg whispering in Trump's ear, you're smarter than Putin. You can outplay Putin. Why is Putin considered the great diplomat or the great statesman, President Trump? You're the great diplomat. You're the great statesman. Come on, place sanctions on Russia. You can defeat Putin. Putin will be signing a capitulation paper if we just place these sanctions on Russia. I can imagine all these things were being whispered into Trump's ear. And Trump said, yeah, I'm smarter than Putin. I'll get Putin to capitulate. Go ahead, Besant. Go ahead, Scotty. Place those sanctions on Lukoil and Rosneft. We'll see in 6 months what Putin has to say about the sanctions. And Hegseth was laughing, and Pam Bondi was laughing as they were sitting next to Trump. So what did Putin say? As he spoke briefly to the media for about 10 minutes, I think he only got two questions. Most likely these were planted questions, because everyone wants Putin's response to, that seems pretty dangerous. They wanted Putin's response to the sanctions and the tomahawks. So those were the two questions. What are your thoughts on the sanctions, the U.S. sanctions on Lukoil and Rosneft, and then the final question that Putin got was on the tomahawks and how Zelensky is saying that he's going to get long-range missiles. No doubt about it, he's going to get tomahawks. Now that he got his sanctions from Trump, he's going to also get the long-range missiles and the tomahawks from the United States as well. And Putin's reply to the sanctions was that the sanctions are not going to have much of an effect on Russia. He did say that they're going to have some effect. He said that obviously these types of sanctions are going to have an effect on Russia, the Russian economy. He said they're going to have an effect on the world. And then in classic Putin style, he started to give a lesson on the oil industry. Hey, my friend, how are you? Hey, buddy. Say hello to the world. So yeah, in classic Putin fashion, he said, "Look, these sanctions, they're going to hurt Russia, but they're going to hurt the world, and they're going to also hurt the United States." What a friendly cat. All right, I got to do my video, my friend. You're distracting me. So
So Putin, he said these are going to boomerang. These sanctions are going to boomerang right back at Russia, at the United States. See, the cat's distracting me. They're going to boomerang back at the United States. He said, if our oil and petroleum product volumes slump on the world market, it will lead to a spike in the price of oil and petroleum products, including at the gas stations. And the United States is no exception. Basically, he's saying that the price of gas is going to go up in the United States. So that was Putin's warning. Those advising Trump, he said, to slap sanctions on Russian oil will work against the U.S. That's what he said. It's all going to work against the U.S. So we got Putin's response there. He also said, one second, that it was Trump who started the whole sanctions escalation in his first term. He said that as well. He reminded everyone that Trump introduced the largest number of sanctions against Russia during his first term. And then he also said that this is an unfriendly act towards Russia, and it does not strengthen Russian-American relations, which were just beginning to recover. The relations just beginning to recover, said Putin. Lindsey Graham, he posted on X, Putin claims that he's immune from American sanctions, as President Trump said so well today, time will tell. I would suggest Putin's customers are not immune from tariffs as punishment for buying cheap Russian oil to prop up Putin's war machine. We'll see if his customers have the same cavalier attitude. Time will tell. Yeah, Lindsey Graham. He wants to see those 500% bone-crushing sanctions on India and China. That is what Graham is all about. So then Putin was asked about Tomahawks. And Putin's response to the Tomahawks was pretty clear. Putin said that Russia's response would be, and I quote, staggering. Supplying Kiev with long-range missiles would be an escalation attempt. The Russian president said this would be an escalation. It is an escalation attempt, Putin said, commenting on a potential delivery. If Russian territory is hit with such a weapon, the response will be very serious, if not outright overwhelming, the president added, encouraging Western leaders to think about it. And then he walked off. And then Putin walked off, right? That was his message. Don't even think about Tomahawks. I think Putin has finally understood what he's dealing with President Trump in the United States. I think Dmitry Medvedev might have helped him along and finally understand what he's dealing with when it comes to Trump. Medvedev, he posted on Telegram the other day, and I'm just going to read it to you from Medvedev. He said, and I quote, Trump's cancellation of the summit in Budapest, new sanctions against our country from the U.S. What else? Will these be new weapons besides the notorious Tomahawks? You're making it very, very hard to concentrate. People are going to get so upset with me in the comments. You're always distracted, Alex. Always distracted. What can I do? The cat always takes precedent over the news, everybody. So Medvedev said, Trump's cancellation of the summit in Budapest, new sanctions against our country from the U.S. What else? Will there be new weapons beside the notorious Tomahawks? If any of the many commentators still had illusions, here you go. The U.S. is our enemy.
and their talkative peacemaker has now fully taken up the path of war with Russia. Yes, he doesn't always actively fight on the side of the Banderite Kiev yet, but this is now his conflict, not the senile Biden's. Of course, they will say he had no choice, that Congress pressured him, etc. That doesn't change the main point. The decisions made are an act of war against Russia, and now Trump has completely sided with mad Europe. But there is a clear plus in this latest swing of the Trump pendulum. One can hammer all the Banderite hideouts with various weapons without worrying about unnecessary negotiations and pursue victory exactly where it is possible, on the ground, not at a desk destroying the enemies, not making meaningless deals. Basically, Medvedev is telling Putin, because this is not only directed at Trump, at the United States, it's also directed at Putin. He is saying, enough of this diplomacy. We've tried. We have tried everything, and escalation is what the collective West wants. They do not want diplomacy. So let's just win this thing. That is what Medvedev is telling Putin. This is really directed at Putin, no doubt about it. Let's win this thing on the battlefield. So I think I covered everything. I tried to cover everything with Trump and Putin and the sanctions. And Carolyn Leavitt, actually, she said that negotiations are not off the table. And so did Marco Rubio. But when they say that, they mean a Russian ceasefire. A Russian capitulation, that's what they want. They want a Russian capitulation. That's what angers and frustrates Trump so much, is that he can't get Russia to capitulate, to agree to a ceasefire. And that's what a ceasefire is. A ceasefire is a Russian surrender, and that is what Trump wants. What do you think about all the news? Or do you care? You don't care. All right. The Coalition of the Willing, they are going to be meeting in London today. They're going to focus on crippling Russia's ability to wage war and to bolster security. That's going to be the Coalition of the Willing. So they're all going to be traveling to London. We're going to see everyone there. Everyone is going to be in London, huh? You're going to stay right here in Nicosia, right? So there was a handover of killed soldiers between Russia and Ukraine. And Russia handed over 1,000 soldiers to Kiev. And Kiev handed over 31 Russian soldiers. So Russia, 1,000. Ukraine, 31. And there's charts now on X and on Telegram, which detail the history of body exchanges. And you're seeing the chart on your screen right now. The total for 2025 is Ukraine, 12,389. That's how many soldiers Russia has handed to Ukraine in 2025. And Russia is 317. That's how many soldiers Ukraine has handed over to Russia, 317, a 39-to-1 ratio. So Trump announced yesterday that he is going to be traveling to the ASEAN conference, and then he's going to be meeting with Xi Jinping right ahead of the APEC conference in South Korea. The ASEAN conference, I believe, is that conference is in Malaysia. So Trump will be in Malaysia, and then he's going to be in South Korea. And on the 30th, he's going to be meeting with Xi Jinping. And that was the big announcement. And Trump said that they're going to settle everything. They're going to figure out everything. And then Trump said that they're also going to discuss Russia. And he is going to push for China to ditch Russia, to stop buying Russian oil, to stop dealing with Russia. And that's going to be one of the topics that he's going to discuss with Xi Jinping. Reuters says ASEAN to host Trump at summit as U.S. and China seek to avert trade war escalation. Bloomberg is also reporting that Modi is going to skip the ASEAN conference. Modi to skip ASEAN summit, likely miss out on Trump meeting. That's on purpose, I believe. I think Modi doesn't want to meet with Trump. He wants to avoid Trump because he's sick and tired of Trump. I think it's that simple. I think he's just sick and tired of flip-flopping, bullying Trump. And actually, the Foreign Ministry of India released a statement earlier today saying once again that they're going to act on their national interests and they're a sovereign country and they're not going to be told what to do or who to buy what from and stuff like that. So Modi, it looks like he is just trying to avoid the U.S. president. Xi Jinping will be meeting with the U.S. president. Will Trump succeed in driving a wedge between China and Russia? No freaking way. I think if Trump brings up, when Trump brings up purchasing Russian oil to Xi Jinping is going to tell Trump to stuff it. And then Trump's going to get very angry, and then he's going to post about it on Truth Social, and something like that will happen. And then maybe he'll say, I'm going to place 500% sanctions on China because China refuses to do what I tell them when it comes to Russia, to Russian oil. He got upset with Canada. He said all the trade talks are done with Canada. He says he's not going to talk about tariffs anymore with Canada. Because he's upset that a commercial was running in Canada that was bashing his tariff policy. It was critical of his tariff policy. So Trump got upset with Canada because of this commercial. And now he's saying that all tariff talks with Canada have been called off. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with, everybody, over a commercial. This is a freaking commercial, right? Trump says he's ending Canada trade negotiations over anti-Trump ad, anti-tariff ad. The ad was for $75,000. They only did this to interfere with the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court and other courts, the president wrote on Truth Social. Tariffs are very important to the national security and economy of the USA. Based on their egregious behavior, all trade negotiations with Canada are hereby terminated. And it's all in caps, all in caps. That's how you know Trump is angry. Yeah, tariffs are important to the U.S.'s national security, right? You've weaponized tariffs. You've actually weakened the United States because of your weaponization of tariffs, and the weaponization of sanctions has actually weakened the United States. But anyway, try telling that. Try convincing Trump of that one. By the way, because of the new sanctions on Rosneft and Lukoil, Germany is now running to the United States and begging for an exemption because Germany has, according to the Financial Times, they do have Rosneft refineries, though according to German authorities, they've been decoupled from the Rosneft in Russia, but they're still Rosneft refineries, and so under the sanctions legislation, they're going to come under the sanctions legislation, and so no one's going to be able to do business with these refineries in Germany. I think you're talking about three Rosneft associated or affiliated refineries in Germany. So now Germany is running to the United States to secure an exemption. Germany races to secure U.S. sanctions exemption for Rosneft refineries. Berlin says Washington should not target subsidiaries a Russian oil company located in Germany. So these are subsidiaries, right? Subsidiaries of Rosneft. You see what these sanctions are going to do? They're going to complicate things around the world. They're going to make things very complicated. Russia's going to get around them. Even CNN wrote an article saying that that no doubt Russia's going to work with its allies and its partners, and they're going to find a way to circumvent these latest sanctions. But the good thing about what Trump did, according to CNN, is that Trump has shown that he is 100% on board with Zelensky and the Europeans. CNN is very happy that Trump has finally decided to go with the Europeans and with Zelensky. That's the good thing. But CNN even admitted that these sanctions are not going to really have much an effect on Russia, and whatever effect they do have on Russia over time, maybe they'll have a short-term effect, which they probably will. And even Putin said these sanctions will probably have some sort of short-term effect. But over time, Russia will find a way to operate around these sanctions. Or as Putin said, the price of oil is going to go up, and that's going to affect everyone. It's going to affect everyone at the pump, including Americans. Of course, a rising price in oil benefits Russia, right? It offsets the sanctions, a higher price. By the way, we have an update on the seizing of Russia's frozen assets. It's going to be delayed. The decision was going to be made yesterday, but it's now going to be delayed until December. And you know why it's going to be delayed? Because Brussels said no. Belgium said no. They can't go forward with the plan to steal. Sorry, to seize, not to steal. It's a loan. It's not theft. It's a loan. It's an IOU. Belgium said no. Can't support the initiative to loan Russia's frozen assets to Zelensky. Let me see if I have the article. EU fails to agree on seizing Russian assets. Belgium's demand for shared risks and guarantees was not met by bloc leaders who back borrowing billions of sovereign Russian funds. So what Belgium was asking was for the risk to be shared, right? For everyone to take part in the risk in the European Union. They're basically saying, look, Euroclear is located in Belgium. Euroclear is going to get decimated. Belgium is going to get decimated from this. Who knows? Euroclear may even close shop after we do this. So what we need is all of the EU member states to at least share in the risk and to cover for us, right? Because what we're about to do is going to destroy our economy in Belgium, and it's going to destroy Euroclear. And it looks like the EU member states were not up for that. That's some unity, huh? That's some solidarity, some unity there from the EU member states. Go ahead, Belgium, you take all the risk and we'll give all the money to Zelensky. We'll give him all the money. We'll steal these assets. Sorry, we'll loan these assets to Ukraine. You guys take the risk, and we're not going to be there to support you. And it looks like Belgium said, hell no. Hell no, man. If we're going down, we're going to take everyone down with us. That's the message from Belgium. And good on you, Belgium. you're at least standing up for yourself in that regard. Of course, it's a bonehead move to just even consider these Russian assets, taking these Russian assets. That's a bonehead move from Belgium, the Belgium government. But at least you're saying, you know what? If we're going to go down, everyone's going to go down with us. Oh, man. Anyway, I think that's the news for today. Probably not my best video, as I was distracted. But anyway, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Breaking, the White House announces that President Trump will meet with Chinese President Xi on October 30th. This is 48 hours before the 100% tariff increase on China is set to go live.
We also got the news that Musk is building a robot army. Elon Musk is building a huge army of humanoid robots. Optimus full-scale Tesla production could kick off by the end of 2026. Musk says they'll free humanity from work. Scary or game-changing? No, it's scary. It's not game-changing, man. It's scary. We know where this is all going to end up. We know. Have you guys liked this video? If you guys liked this video so far, then hit that like. If you like this channel, then subscribe to this channel. And let's do a clown world as I try to keep my balance here. So today's clown world, let's see. Let's see here. That would suck if I fell, huh? Today's clown world is courtesy of the Times, the UK Times, which is running an article saying female spies are waging a sex warfare to steal Silicon Valley secrets. According to the Times, China and Russia are sending attractive women to seduce tech workers, even marrying and having children with their targets. It's the Wild West out there, says the insider. You're back. Where'd you go? Huh? Where did you go? So that's coming from the Times. Chinese and Russian spies are reportedly using sex warfare, seduction relationships, even marriage to extract secrets from Silicon Valley professionals. Intelligence experts say attractive women posing as investors, analysts, or crypto experts are targeting tech workers to access sensitive information. Russia, China, man. Do you guys ever stop sabotaging the collective West? Jeez. What else? What else do we have for a clown world? Oh, in the 19th sanctions package, the EU included the use of salt, sulfur, graphite, metal ores, rubber products, and ceramic materials. That's banned from going to Russia. And so what that means, according to the EU's 19th sanctions package, is that you have sanctions on the export of toilets, sinks, bidets, and toiletries to Russia. So Putin actually commented about this as well. He actually said they want to sanction toilets. All right, go ahead. Go ahead and sanction toilets. I forgot what Putin said. It was pretty clever what he said. Let me see if I have it bookmarked. Maybe I have it bookmarked. Maybe I don't. But he said something clever about the sanctions with the toilets. You know what? I'll just put the video up for you guys. What Putin said about the sanctioning of toilets.
То, что отменили приобретение наших унитазов, это им дорого обойдется. Они им, в общем-то, мне кажется, были бы нужны в сегодняшней ситуации. А если они дальше будут продолжать такую же политику в отношении Российской Федерации.
So anyway, that's the video. By the way, Zelensky was speaking to the media, and he was taking credit for disrupting the Budapest summit. He said he was the one that got the summit canceled. Zelensky, man, stay off the sugar, bro. Stay off the sugar. Zelensky, he was happy. He was proud. Taking credit for the cancellation of the Budapest summit. The Green Goblin. The Dark Knight. Anyway, that's the video, everybody, on this Friday. Go to the Duran. Pick up some merch. Like this video. Subscribe to this channel. And check me out on X. Check us out on Telegram. We're on Substack as well, by the way. So definitely join us on Substack. Just go to Substack and just... subscribe, all right? Just go to the Duran.locals and sign up. It's free. So check us out there. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.